We begin the current daf Maseches Beis daf Lamed Beis. We begin 16 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of different things that are forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. Now, Mishnah begins, Ein Peichsin Es Haner. One is not allowed to make an indentation in a container that holds a candle, which is that a person would take a clump from the potter and then to stick, push his fist in to make that indentation where that's where the oil, that's where the candle goes into. That's forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Because in the process, a person is now fashioning a utensil. He's creating a kli, which is forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. And related to that, ve'ein oisim b'chamin b'yom tov. A person is also not allowed to make charcoal on Yom Tov, because that's also, that charcoal is considered a utensil for the goldsmiths, because they use that as a utensil in their process. Therefore, one cannot make charcoal either on Yom Tov. Also, ve'ein chaychin es ha-b'sila. A person is also not allowed to cut a wick on Yom Tov, again, because a wick is also a utensil that's used for lighting, where you have to go ahead and make it and fix it. So again, all these things are forbidden because of making, of tikkun man, of creating of the utensil, which is forbidden to be done in Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, however, he concludes regarding the last halacha, that chaytcha b'ur, you could cut a wick by using fire, which must explain what's the difference, how you cut it, if it's with a knife or with a fire. Either way, it should be forbidden to do, because you're fashioning a wick, which is a kli, and which is forbidden on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Pchisas Ner Manahu, that in making the indentation in the piece of earthenware, just making that receptacle is what creates it into a kli, even before you've burnt it and fashioned it in the kiln, in the fire, which then makes it into earthenware. It's not usable in the sense of just when it's still earth and you're just pushing in your fist. Who's the one that holds that even that would be making it into a kli? So Gemara has two versions of this. The first version, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Remeiri, it's Remeiri, the time like we learned the Braisa. Kli Charis, regarding an earthenware vessel, Me'emesem Mekabel Tumah, when does it, is it considered halachically like utensil, that it should be able to contract Tumah? So that the first opinion says, that's Remeir, Mishenigma Malachta, Idiv Remeir, Remeir says, from when the Malacha, the actual fashioning of it is finished, which is when it has that indentation, when you have carved it out. Bishu Emer, he argues, says, Mishitzar for Bekipshin. No, it's not enough just when you have fashioned it out. You have to first go ahead and heat it up in the fire in the oven. That's when it's going to be considered finished as utensil to then be able to be Mekabel Tumah. So again, so therefore, Rav Yosef says, we see that Remeir is of the opinion that just making the indentation already makes it a kli, even though it's not even fired up, and therefore he would be the town of our mission that would hold, you can't do that on Yom Tov. Now, Amalei Abaya asks, Mimai. How do you know, where do you see that Remeir would hold, and he would be the town of a Mishnah, that he would hold that making the kli for a ner, for a candle, would be the same as other kli charis, which is what Remeir is talking about? And that is, maybe not. Dilma ad kan lakum Remeir hasa, maybe where we find Remeir over there, where he's talking about other kli charis, other earthenware vessels, where they're large. Now, even if they're not fit yet, because they weren't fired up yet to put water in it or wine or other liquid, because it's going to mix in with the earth, it's not hard yet, and therefore it's not usable for that. But however, el dechazi lekabuli bamidi, but it is usable in the sense of that you could put stuff inside of it, something that's dry, like fruits, like produce, that you could put in over there, and that's why he considered it's already a kli, at least to be mekabel tumah by just fashioning it out. But over here, by a candle, which is very small, if it's not fit for using it as a candle, so then Lamai Chazi, what is it fit for if it wasn't fired up yet? You can't go ahead and put in the candle, put in the oil, it's not going to work. So how does it help? Remeir over there maybe said that just fashioning is good enough because it's large and you can put stuff in there. But here, when it's so small and if it's not fit for the candle, so what's it fit for? Even it would seem maybe he would agree that the halacha of our Mishnah would not be usher because you're not making it into any kli. That Rav Yosef answers, no, lekabuli bepshiti, it is usable. It's the same as the kli charis that Remeir is talking about, the case of our making the container for the candle, in the sense of because you could put coins in, so it's, even though it's small, it's still usable, so it's essentially the same as Remeir, and therefore, just like there he considers it a kli to mekabel tumah, here he would consider a kli, which would be usher to do on Yom Tov. That was the first version of this discussion. Ikadami, that those that say that Rav Yosef said, that the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that just doing this Pchisas Haner, making the indentation in the candle, is creating into a mana, into a utensil, is Rebbe Elazar ben Tzaddiki, a different Tana, who he says that before there's it's carved out, before you punch in and you make the indentation, then it's not a utensil, but it's the actual chakika, it's the indentation is what makes it into a utensil. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah Besech this idiot that says il pasen charanias, which the Gemara later on will explain, it means the plates of the villagers, where they're not from the cities, and they're not so particular about having beautiful plates. And just when they spread out the earthenware, which is the fashioning the plate itself, they already eat meat on it. And they don't even wait till it even make the indentation and then to go ahead and heat up in the oven. Right when it gets flattened out, they already use it as plates. So regarding those plates from the villagers, we learned there in that Mishnah that the Tanakhama says, Tahiris b'oil ames, such plates will be tahar, will not contract tumma if it's in the same tent as a mess, as a corpse. And the reason is because regarding the halachas of oil, where a mess is inside of it, the utensil has to have a teich, has to have an inside, has to have an indentation regarding kli cheres. As the pasuk says in Midbar Yutes, v'chol kli pasuach, and any opening in the utensil, which sounds like it has a pesach, has an opening. And therefore, that would also be the same thing regarding tumas maga. It has to have an opening. So therefore, it's going to be tar, because even though they use it, but again, it doesn't have any indentation. However, v'tmeis b'masa zav, it will contract tuma when a zav goes ahead and pushes it, which is called tumas hesed, which is when he pushes it, that movement of a zav by a klicheris, by an earthenware vessel. As the Gemara learns out in Teres Kainim, there's a pasuk that says in Yikra Tezvav, v'chol klicheris, and any earthenware vessel, asher yigeh by hazav, that a zav will touch. The Gemara there learns that it's a reference to heseta, it's a reference to the moving of it. Now, since the tuma of hesed, of movement, is from the outside, it's when you move it, so it doesn't need to have an inside as it does by Tumas Oil. Therefore, the Tanakhama holds it is considered a kli, since the villagers use it as it is, even without making any indentation, and for sure they didn't even heat it up in the oven. And therefore, it's makabel tuma by something that is fit to make a tuma, which is the case by the hesed, by the tuma of a zav. That's a Tanakhama. But as a Tzadikimer, he argues, he says, no, there is no tuma for these plates because they're not a kli, even though they use it, but it's like a board. It says, after Hayris b'masa zav, it's even tahar from the tumah of hesed, of the movement of the zav, l'fishalei nigma malachton, because the utensil has not been finished. Now, what does nigma malachton mean, as we saw the term used before? It means the engraving of the indentation that's made to make the receptacle of the plate. What sounds like, but if it was nechkak, then there would be tameh. And with the reason that we see that is because from the fact that they're arguing on these ilpasin, that's where he says it's not finished yet, where they don't even have a teich, but it sounds like once it has a teich, it has an indentation, then even Rebbe Elazar would agree that it would be considered a mana. So you see that Rebbe Elazar Tzadik holds that the chakika is what makes it into a mana, and hence he would be the Tana of HaMishnah, who holds that just by making the chakika, making the indentation, by sticking your fist into that, into whatever would be making the candle, whether it be earthenware, whether it be fats, that you make it into the kli, that already, even before it's fired up, would be considered a kli. And that's why it's asr to do an yom tov. On that, on this second version of Abaya asks, maybe it's not so. Maybe there we have Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadik who says that yes, after doing the chakika of these villagers' plates, then it would be considered kli, even before it's fired up in the oven, that it should be mekabel tuma from the zav. That's el dechazi lekabula b'midi. Same question he asked on the first version, but that's because it's usable to receive something that once it gets the indentation, then you could use it. However, before it is, it's not usable because ultimately that's not how they use it. They can end up making the indentation. Aval hocha, but here by the candle of my chazi, what's it fit for? Even Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadik would seem that he wouldn't agree to our halacha, that it wouldn't be considered making a kli. Rabbi Yosef answers, no, lekabula b'pshiti, it is usable even before it's fired up and heated up and solidified, is because you could put small little coins in it, and therefore it's essentially the same as Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, and those are the two versions of what he was saying, either that Rabbi Yosef said it's like Reb Meir, or it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, which essentially they're saying that even just the chakika, just making the indentation even before it's fired up, is already considered making a kli, and that's why our Mishnah says that's asr on yom tov. Related to this, the Gemara brings Trabon, and the Braisa. Ein peichsin nesaner, like we said in our Mishnah, you now make this indentation in the candle. The ein oisin al pasin charanis b'yantim. And so too the Tanakhama holds, you now allowed to make these villagers' plates on Yom Tov. We're shimming them little matter, but pasin charanis says, no, it's permitted because, again, you're not making any kli. At least according to those opinions, which is what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying, is because there's no, not even a teich, not even the inside. It's just flattening out the earthenware, and he holds that's not considered making a kli, and therefore that's not forbidden on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asks, Maicharonius, what's this term that we mentioned in our Mishnah and the Machlekes of this Braisa about these Charonius? So Amar Yehuda means Ironius. Now the Gemara asks, Ma'ironius? So Amar Abaye, it's Soichak Lo Yosa. It means the place of the villagers, again, as we explained, that forget about that they didn't fire it up and heat it up in the oven, but they didn't even go ahead and make an indentation. It's just they flatten out the earth. That is already for them, the villagers would use it, and that's the Smachlaikis if that's considered making a kli or not, if that would be permitted or not to do on Yom Tov. Now the Mishnah said another thing that's forbidden to do on Yom Tov is ve'ein oisin b'chamin. You're not allowed to make charcoal on Yom Tov. And the reason why we said it is because it's considered a kli for those for the goldsmiths. Now the Gemara is Peshita. Obviously you're not allowed to make the charcoal on Yom Tov, because Lamai Chazi, what's it fit for? What would we think that there is a permitted Yom Tov usage to be able to do a malacha? So that the Gemara says, Natan Rebchia said that lo nitzvacha, it was necessary, because el lemaisrin le'ol argon. What the chiddush is that we would think that you're making the charcoal to give it over to the bathhouse attendants that heat up the water and of the bathhouses. Now, and that would be if they're doing it le'boi b'yam, if they're going in to heat up the baths for people to be able to use them on Yom Tov, so therefore it would be considered tzarcha Yom Tov, and we know that malachas are permitted to do in tzarcha Yom Tov. That's the chiddush that we're teaching you, that you're not allowed to do it because you're making a kli which is not permitted on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second, le'boi b'yam mishari? Are you telling me that that would have been what we would have thought, that we're using the charcoal to go ahead and heat up the bathhouses, but is that permitted to warm up water on Yom Tov? But as the Gemara brings in Masechet Shabbos, there was a gzeir d'rabbanan that they made that one is not allowed to bathe on Yom Tov, even for water that was heated up from before Yom Tov. Most definitely that you can't go ahead and heat up water on Yom Tov. So what is this that you're saying that we would have thought because they're using it for permitted usage? You're not allowed to bathe, and for sure you're not allowed to warm up water to bathe. So the Gemara answers, no, Kedama Rav, we're talking about like Rava had said, Lahaziyah. And what they were doing is that the charcoal would be for permitted usage, which is that they would put in the charcoal into the waters there, where then that would heat up the bathhouse, and the people would then go into the bathhouse and then to just go ahead and what's called a shvitz, they would just sweat. The kredim gzera, and that was before the decree on sweating, which is, that's as is learned over there in that Mishnah, where there was a differentiation in the gzera on bathing, that although there was a gzera on bathing, but there wasn't yet a gzera on sweating, which people would go into the bathhouse to perspire as a way of healthy living. Now, that was what the intention was. So, here also the reference is that they were making the charcoal so that the bathhouse should fill up with this hot air, which would then go ahead and help them sweat. That was at one point in time permitted. Now, at that time, we would have thought you could do that, and that's what the chiddush that we're saying in our Mishnah, that one cannot do that to make the charcoal for that permitted Yom Tov usage, again, because that would be considered making a kli, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Now the Mishnah continued and said, similarly, you're not allowed to cut the wick into two, as we said, because that would be considered making a kli, you're finishing off a wick. However, Rabbi Yehuda said that one could do it if he cuts it by fire. Now, that the Gemara asks. Now, what was the difference? Why we said regarding a knife that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you cannot cut the wick with a knife. So we continue on to Amud Beis. The reason is to come a sakin mana, because you're fixing your utensil, and that is, though it was one, now you're making two, you're making another wick, hence that's considered making a kli, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. But then the question is, urnami, even by fire also, come a sakin mana, you're still making a wick, you're still fixing your utensil, how is it permitted because you're not using a knife and instead using fire? So that the Gemara said, turn b'chir, b'chir torn in the braisa, that chaytcha b'ur, when we said that you're cutting it by fire, means in the specific case of b'fi shtei neiris. It's inside two different lamps. And that is, you put this one wick, the two ends of it, into two different lamps. Now, if you want to go ahead and light it, and you want to light both of them at the one time, so you would light it in the middle. So this is not so obvious that you're creating a kli, and that's what you're trying to do. Rather, just like you're lighting the candle. It just happens to be that they're both in at the same time, and that is a case where Yehuda says that would be permitted to do, because that wouldn't give the impression of fixing a kli, with just like you're lighting two things at the same time, and therefore when you light it, that they separate, that's a permitted way to split the two wicks, and the one wick into two. Now, related to this about fixing a wick on Yom Tov, the Gemara brings the Amr Rav Nosson bar Abba Amar Rav. He says, Meichten es ha-psila b'Yom Tov. You're allowed to go ahead, and that is when the top of the wick becomes like charcoal-y, you're allowed to go ahead and take that part off. And what the chiddush is that wouldn't be considered making a wick, which is forbidden, that on Yom Tov, as if it's fixing the wick on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara clarifies, my meichden, what is this that we're saying you're allowed to do this meichden of the wick on Yom Tov? So Rav Chinder bar Shalom Yemishmei de Rav, it means la'aduy, it means to remove chushcha, the darkened part, the charcoal part on the top of the wick, that you're allowed to take off on Yom Tov, and that's permitted. As we find that Tanim bar Kapara learned that Vav Dvarim Nemru Bipsila, there were six different halachas that were said regarding a wick on Yom Tov, Gimel HaHachmer per Gimel HaHakol, three stringencies and three leniencies. LaHachmer, what are the three stringencies? In Goyden Lois Likichel B'Yom Tov, you're not allowed to go ahead and braid the wick initially on Yom Tov. Second, Meim HaHaven Oysa B'Or, you're not going to singe it, which again is part of the process of making the wick, by singeing it in the fire. And the third one is Vayin Chaytchen Oysa L'Shnayim, you can't cut into two as we said in our Mishnah. Now LaHakol, the three leniencies we said regarding a wick on Yom Tov is Mamacha B'Yad, you can squash it, you can smash it with your hand, and that is although that's fixing it into wick by smashing it, but however that's in the indirect, what's called Kalacha Yad, which is permitted. Second one is v'shar b'shemen, you could soak it in oil. And the third one is v'chaytcha b'or b'fi shtei neris, as the chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah, you could cut it into two by again lighting the middle when it has the two ends in two different lamps. Now another statement from the same Amayra, v'amrab nasim bar abo amarav, he says, atirei bavel yerdi gehenimim. The wealthy ones of Babylon, of Bavel, are going to inherit, they're going to go down into Gehenim. And the reason is, as the Gemara will illustrate, because they didn't have mercy to do tzedakah, to do charity with other people. Kihod Shabsai bar Marinas, like there was with the Shabsai, the son of Marinas, Ikla Bavel, he came down to Bavel. Bayimanayeske, so he asked from the wealthy people there merchandise so that he can go ahead and take on credit and give them, do this business with them, pay them 50% of the profits. So he gets 50% of the profits. So they give him the capital, the resources, and then he'll split the profits 50-50. However, but Veloyavali, they didn't give him, they didn't want to invest with him merchandise. So he asked him Zayin, he asked him to give him food. Mezin Amalizin knew, they also didn't give him food. So Amas said, he said, Hani me'er of Rav Kosi. He says, it must be that these wealthy people of Bavel are from the heir of Rav, which are those people that, the multitudes of the people that mixed with the Jewish people when they were leaving Egypt, all these non-Jews, these other nations came along with the Jewish people, must be they're not really from the Jewish people. Dechsev, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, says, V'nosn l'cha rachmim, that Hashem will give you mercy so that you could have mercy on other people, and then v'richamcha, then Hashem will have mercy on you. Now, the drasha is, what that means is, kol maracham ala bris, whoever has mercy on other people, b'yaduishu mezarish l'Avram Avinu, then it's known that this person must be from the children of Avram Avinu. And that's because as the end of the pasuk ends, kasha nishba ala v'secha, like he swore to your fathers, and that is whoever has mercy must know that Avram Avinu is his father, that he's from the children of those of us. But v'chomi she'ena maracham ala bris, whoever does not have mercy on the people, b'yadua she'ena mezarish l'Avram Avinu, then it's known that he's not really from the children of Avram Avinu, and that's why it must be these people are from the heir of Rav, and not from the children of Avram Avinu. Another statement by the same Amara, v'am Rav Nosson bar Abba Amar Rav, again the name of Rav, kol ha'metzapa al shulchan achem, whoever anticipates, whoever has to wait for someone else's table, and that what that means is that he doesn't have his own food and he has to eat by someone else, oylam chashach ba'adoy, his world is dark in front of him. Like there's a saying in Yiddish, it's a shvarz vada oigen. Shanem, like it says a pasuk in Eiv, noided hu lalachem, that he wanders for bread. Aye, where is it? Yada, so he knows, ki nochen biyadai, that it's already prepared for him, yoyim chashach, a dark day. Again, there's such a person that his world is dark because he doesn't have his own food, he has to eat by others. Rav Chisdama, he even says, af chayev enim chayim. More than just that, his life is not a life. As the Gemara says, Trabban Linda Braisa, Gimel Chayim Enim Chayim, there are three people that their lives are not lives. Ve'elohen, and they are, the one we mentioned, Hametzapa L'Shulch Chaber, someone that has to anticipate his friend's table, he doesn't have his own. Umishi Ishta Mishalas Lav, or someone that his wife rules over him. And the third one is Umishi Yisurin Mishal Magufay, or somebody that his body is racked with pain. These three people, their lives are not lives. The Yeshar Man, there are those that say, some say that even if someone that only has one shirt, his life is not a life because since it's only shirt, he can't wash it because then he'll be without a clothing. And then he has all the lice that pain him because he can't wash it. So therefore, his life is also not a life. Yet the Tanna Kama, the Gemara says, however, the Tanna Kama, who didn't mention that as someone that doesn't have a life, he could analyze his clothing and then pick it off without washing it off, pick off the lice and be able to get rid of it. So therefore, they didn't say that such a person, his life is not a life. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, talking about tikkun mana, about fixing a utensil, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah tells us unique ways of that's considered a tikkun mana. Ein shavin es acheres, we're not allowed to break an earthenware. Similarly, ve'ein choytchen hanyar, we cannot go ahead and cut paper, litzlois boi melech, to be able to go ahead and roast a salted fish. Now, what the process is that they used to do is that when they would roast the fish on a griddle, so then they would cut reeds or straw, or they would break earthenware or cut pieces of paper, and they would soak it in water. Then they would go ahead and prepare that paper on top of the griddle. And the reason is because the metal that the griddle is very hot, which would burn the fish. So they would put these items down on the grill first so as not to burn the fish. And that the Mishnah is saying, you're not allowed to break and do these things to create these things that are put on top of the griddle to make a separation between the fish and the griddle. That one cannot do on Yom Tov. Similarly, Ve'en gerfen tan bikarayim, a person cannot shovel out these two types of ovens on Yom Tov, and that is if, let's say, part of the plaster of the oven that was inside fell down. You can't go ahead and shovel that out from the oven, as these two parts of this Mishnah are both discussing. They're both considered tikkun mana. You're fixing either the cheres or the nyar, or here in this case, the oven. Now, as Rashi explains, this is obviously like the opinion of the Rabbanon, who they say that mechshir echel nefesh are aser, that although you're allowed to do malachas for making food on Yom Tov, you can't do malachas for preparing the items that then go ahead and prepare the food. So you can't fix the knives or the ovens, or in this case, the earthenware that's used as a plate over the griddle not to burn the fish. These things cannot be done on Yom Tov. Avol mechavshin. However, in the case of that you have the plaster there in the oven and you can shovel it out, but you can lay down the ashes and the earth that's there to smooth it out on the bottom of the oven. And that is, you could make it equal and even that it shouldn't touch the bread, which the way they used to bake bread would, they would attach the dough to the walls. Now, if you didn't go ahead and smooth it out, then possibly when you're baking the bread, it's going to touch these items that fell into the oven, which is then going to burn the bread. So that's to prevent that burning of the bread, you can go ahead and smooth it out, but you can't shovel it out. Related halacha, the ein makifin, one cannot go ahead and bring, which the term makifin means to bring two things near each other. You can't bring shtei chovias, you can't bring two barrels near each other, and that is, and then having the fire between those two barrels. Lishbas alein asekedere, to then put the pot on top of those two barrels. And that is, whenever one puts a pot on the fire, that's called shvisa, what we're talking about. Which is, let's say somebody doesn't have a metal utensil, like a tripod, which you put that over the fire itself, or if he doesn't have an oven made out of earthenware that has an opening. So the people would do this, that they would put two barrels and put the pot on top, but then have the fire between that. Now, the reason why that's forbidden to do on Yom Tov is because it seems like building. And rabbinically is because since it looks like you're making an oil, because you're making two walls, and now the top with the pot that you're putting on top, therefore it's forbidden to do that on Yom Tov. And also, ve'in simchen es hakadir bebikas, a person cannot lean a pot on a piece of wood, which is because the Tanna of Mishnah holds that a person cannot use wood only for fuel. That's what wood is designated for, and therefore it's considered muktza for any other utility, so you can't use it as a way of supporting a pot. V'chein bedelis, and the same thing applies to a door, where the Gemara initially assumes what that means is that you cannot support a pot with a door, which the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean, supporting a pot with a door? And the Mishnah concludes with, v'ein manhigin es behemah b'makal b'yom tov, a person cannot lead an animal with a stick on Yom Tov, which means in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara initially assumes what that means is that you cannot use wood on Yom Tov if it wasn't made into a utensil from before Yom Tov. As we said in the previous halacha, that wood is only meant for fuel, for fire, and therefore you can't use it as a way of supporting the pot, and neither can you use it as a stick to lead the animal in Rosh Hashanah. But from Rabbi Shimon Matar, Rabbi Shimon says that it is mutter. Now the Gemara asks, my Tam, what's the reason of the halachas in our Mishnah, specifically the first ones that we mentioned? The komasakin mana, because you're fixing your utensil, when you're breaking the earthenware, that you can use it to not have the fish burnt on the griddle, or if someone's going ahead and taking out the what's fell into the oven, these things are fixing the utensils, and therefore you can't do that on Yom Tov. The next halacha in our Mishnah said, ve'in gerfen tan bikarayim, and I'll shovel out these ovens on Yom Tov. However, the Gemara brings the following halacha. Tanya Rav Chiya bar Yosef Kamed Rav Nachman, he learned the following halacha. It says, v'im efshar lefes, if it's not possible to bake, elim kein garfu, unless if it was shoveled out, then mutter, then actually it is going to be mutter, because we are lenient, like Rabbi Yehuda, who is mentioned in Chav Chesem Abayis, that he says that Machshir Yochel Nefesh are permitted. So though our Mishnah mentions, and it seems like initially we want to be machmir not to do Machshir Yochel Nefesh, to shovel out the coals, we said you ought to lay it down, the plaster, let's say, that fell in, not to burn the bread, but not to shovel it out. But if it's not possible to bake unless you do, then he says it's going to be mutter. As the Gemara illustrates with certain incidents, the same halacha that we could be makel to shovel it out, because to be makel like a Yehuda of Machshir Yochel Nefesh. As we find, the base of Rebchia, the wife of Rebchia, Nafala Aricha, she had a half a brick that fell, B'tanur B'yamatav, it fell into the oven, meaning it fell off from the wall into the oven on Yamtiv. Now, Amr Rebchia told his wife, he said, Chazi da'no rifta ma'yasabinis. He says, look, I want you to see that I want to have good bread on Yom Tov. In other words, what he was alluding to her was to shovel out the oven. It's okay, you can do that, as we said, because we're makel, like Rabbi Yehuda, to do even makshir achal nefesh, not even to prepare the bread, but to fix the oven to then be able to have good bread. Which, since it wasn't possible, he says, I want to have good bread. If it's necessary, you could shovel out the oven. Similarly, Amar Rava l'shamoy, Rava told his attendant, Teveli bar avsa, roast for me a goose in the oven. Now, their ovens were very narrow, and the opening of the oven was on the top. Now, where they hang what they were roasting inside, and then they would close the top, and that's how it would get roasted. So he told him, Dar Mecharuch, I want you to be careful that it shouldn't get burnt. Now, what he was saying to him was that he should shovel out the oven so that there shouldn't be anything on the bottom that's very tall, like a brick or a rock or stone that fell in there that got heated up from the oven. Now, if it's going to touch what you're roasting, it's going to burn it. So he said, make sure, which essentially was telling him the same halacha, that you can shovel it out, make sure it doesn't get burnt. Now, related to this halacha about different operations, which when they would be cooking or baking in the oven, so only Ravina Ravashi. Ravina told Ravashi, Amlon Rav Acham Hutzel. Rav Acham Hutzel told us that Demar, the master, meaning a reference to Ravashi, who he's talking to, Sharkin Le Tanur B'yamatava, that the servants of my master, meaning Yuravashi, they smear the outside of the opening, of the cover of the oven, with cement, with mud, which is that not, that the heat from the oven, that's for what's roasting inside, should not come out, it should retain inside, because the wind that comes in from outside ruins the roast. Now, that is what he was wondering to Ravashi. He says that we know that to go ahead and be megabel tit, in other words, to knead the mud to make it into something that could plaster, that could close up the gap of the covering, is a telad, it's a derivative of the amalach of lush, of kneading. So how could you have your servants, basically, he was asking him, go ahead and cover it with this mud if that entails some type of kneading? So Ravashi responded to me, he says, Anan araks de prasamchin. He says, we rely on the edge of the Euphrates River, where we don't need to go ahead and knead this mud, because actually the edge of the Euphrates has already that type of quality mud, which is already megubal, it's already kneaded, and that's why I let my servants do it, because they don't have to do any malach in that process. Now, that the Gemara, however, qualifies this, Mahanamili, when did we say that you can use already ready mud? Is only who did tsari me'etmol. If it was already marked off from yesterday, in other words, he made a sign and he moved it to the side, because if not, it would be considered muktzah. So even though there wouldn't be a problem about gibul, about lush, but there would be considered a problem of muktzah. So as long as one marked off the mud by the edge of the Euphrates before Yom Tov, then it's okay to do that on Yom Tov. Now, Amar Ravina does say, however, that the kitmashari, ashes are permitted to go ahead and knead it and to smear it on the oven walls, that the heat shouldn't escape and that the cold air shouldn't come from outside, because ashes are not things that could be kneaded. It's not included in the malach of lush because it's not kneadable. It doesn't get kneaded. It doesn't come into that one solid, and therefore that would be permitted to do on Yom Tov. Now, our Mishnah said, Ve'im akivin shtei chavyos. We said that we cannot go ahead and bring two barrels near each other, have the fire in between them, and the pot on top of them. Now, however, the Gemara does tell us that Amr of Nachum. Nachum says the following halacha, which we're going to ask from it from the case of our Mishnah. He said, Avanim shel beis hakisei, the bricks from the lavatory, which these were large rocks that they would put near each other so that it should be some type of a lavatory where they can go ahead and relieve themselves of what has a space between them, and he could sit on it in the place where they would designate to be the bathroom, to be the outhouse. Now, that Rav Nachman said that those rocks, mutal etzadim yom tov, you can make them close near each other so that you can have a place where to sit on. Now, that is very Rabbi Rav Nachman. He asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ein makivin shtei chavyos, you cannot bring the two barrels near each other, lishpes alein esegedera, to then put the pot on top of them. So what's the difference between the person that's squatting on these rocks or putting the pot on top of these rocks? So Malay said to him, no, shani hasam, the case of our Mishnah is different, mishum de ka'ovid Allah, because he's making a tent. In other words, it has a roof, which is the pot. But here, there's no roof. There's just two rocks near each other. The person is not part of that oil. And therefore, here it's permitted, and there it's asr. However, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rabbi Zuti l'Rav Ashi, Bet al-Mi'at, if that's the case, that the problem is only when you make a covering, so then, Bona Itzava, if someone builds an Itzava, which is a type of chair, which is made out of bricks and cement, if someone makes that chair b'yamtev, b'yamtev, d'loy avid ala, where there's no covering for it, hachen amid yashar, would you think that's permitted? That's classic building. It's making something. So therefore, what's the difference exactly? You're saying here by the bathroom it's permitted because you're not making a top. Now, whereas in the Mishnah you're saying it has a top, that's forbidden. But itzava clearly is aser, even though there's no top. So how do we understand it? So Malaysa, he says, no, the understanding is like this. Hasam over there, let's say like in the case of the itzava, binyan kava aser tar. The Torah says anything that's a permanent structure is forbidden, and therefore itzava would be forbidden. Binyan arai, a temporary structure, which is not there to last. For example, let's say when you're bringing the two barrels near each other. That loy aser tar, you're right, biblically that's not aser. However, Gazra Rabban al-Bin arai, Mishum bin kava. The Rabbanan, however, said that even a temporary structure, like the two barrels near each other, is forbidden mid Rabbanan because you might come to do a permanent structure. Now, however, what's the difference then with the bathroom? V'hocha, over here, by the Beis HaKisei, Mishum kavoy de l'gazra b'Rabbanan, because of the covet, the honor of the person, where he has to be able to relieve himself, and he has to be able to sit down on something, that's why what's called in halacha, covet abriyas, that's why we allowed one, and that the Rabbanan did not make that Issa Rabbanan of putting the two things near each other to then make a temporary oil. So you're right, although in our Mishnah it's Asr Rabbanan, but here because of Kavod Abriyas, they didn't say that it's Asr, not because of the covering or not, it's just because of Kavod Abriyas. Now related to this halacha that we mentioned, so Amar Rehuda says, Hai Medurta, this bonfire, this large fire that they would make for the princes, for the noblemen, that would be like a type of a building. And that, how is that? Because, although, and this is continuing on the halacha that we're talking about before, where even the oil arai is forbidden to do on Yom Tov, it's just for the Beis HaKisei where they allowed it. But however, like the case of our Mishnah, where putting two barrels together are forbidden, and then putting the pot on top is like making a temporary building. So similarly, they would do for the nobility, that they would make these walls from four sides. Then on top of that, they would put the wood, and then they would light it on the top and make this bonfire, which is similar to like making oil. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that this bonfire, milmala lamata, to make it from the top down, in other words, to be starting first from the top part, and then working your way down, and then making the walls of that are surrounding it on the side, that actually, Shari, is permitted to do that on Yom Tov, because that's not the way it's normally done. So although oil arai, which is what this is forbidden because you have walls on the top, but since you're doing it in the opposite way of doing the top first, holding up the wood and then making the walls around it on the bottom, so that would be permitted. But malmata lamala, to do from the bottom up, which is first organizing the woods of the walls first and then putting the top part on it afterwards, that's aster again, as we said, that's the derech of bines, the way how things are usually built from the bottom up. And therefore, although this is arai, but that was what we said before, that this gzeirat rabbanan, as we mentioned on Mishnah, to make even two barrels next to each other, even that's forbidden because of one might come to do oil kava, and therefore it's going to be us. Now that the Gemara continues on top of Lamed Gimel Men Aleph, and the same halacha applies to all different areas where you can't do it, even though it's an oil arai, temporary structure, from bottom up, but top down you could do it. As we find, b'chem b'yasa, the same thing applies to eggs, which if, let's say, people have these large eggs, which they put on top of these tripods, where it gets cooked then on top of the fire, or on top of a griddle. So you cannot first put the kli first on the bottom and then work your way upwards. Rather, what you have to do is you hold the egg first on the top. And you hold the top part, and you put the egg on the top. Then you put that kli on top of the coals. So again, that you shouldn't do it in the order of doing coals, and then from the bottom up, you have to do it from the top down. The same thing applies to a pot, which is that when in the Mishnah, halacha of our Mishnah, where you put two barrels, you shouldn't first put them together and then put the pot on top of them. Rather, what you do first is you first hold up the pot in the ear, you hold it with your hand, and then you put the barrels underneath it, and then that would be considered doing it from the top down. The same thing applies to a bed, where there are certain types of beds of the nobility that they would constantly dismantle it and put it back when they need it. So that halacha is that on Yom Tov, a person should not first put the legs and then put the frame of the bed and then put the mattress, which is they would tie on this leather hide on top of that. Rather, first you hold up the leather on the top. Then you put the frame underneath it. and then you stick the legs into it, again, working your way from top down. That's permitted since it's only arai and it's doing not the way it's normally done. That would be permitted. And finally, v'chein chavisa, the same thing applies to a barrel, which is when they're organizing a storage room, a storage house, when they're putting the barrels one on top of the other, you're not allowed to put two and then one on top of that, because that would be like binyan, even though it's arai. Rather, you should put one and put two underneath it. Again, as we said, that although these are oil arai, but even oil arai is gzer d'rabbanan because of oil kava, however, it could be done in the way it's not normally done, which is from the top down, but not from the bottom up.